So anyway, we're of course, on deputation on our way to Edmonton. A few things that I want to mention. Some things are going to be covered in the presentation when we show that, so I'm going to kind of skip some of that stuff. But of course, Edmonton, that's the capital of Alberta. It's over 1 million people in the metro area, and just a tremendous need. I've been able to correspond with some Canadian pastors that are up in that area, and that is what every one of them has said. There's a tremendous need here, and there's a job that needs to be done here. And, I've talked to a couple of them more than others, and told them about our survey trip, Lord willing, in June. And they've said, whatever we can do, whatever we can do to help as far as letting you know about the area, whatever we can do to help, even some of whatever we can do as far as a place to stay, and that's not a bad thing. Of course, you know how that works. They may do it once. We're only taking one survey trip, so that's all we need is once. Anyway, there is a tremendous need there. A lot of, people are coming in from all over the world, and actually, Edmonton is growing right now. With the economy the way it is, all over the world, people are looking for somewhere to get a job. Edmonton, with the oil fields, with the diamond mines, there's a lot of industry. IBM has a huge facility there, and there's a lot of other industries there as well. With all that, people are coming from all over the world, right there to Edmonton. What a way to reach the world without really going that far away. We're in a missions conference. It's been several months ago, and almost every one of the missionaries that were there came to us at one time during the missions conference and said, there's a group of thousands of our people living in Edmonton. What a way to reach the world. Can you imagine being able to go see these people saved, see them discipled, and eventually they're going to go home to countries where you and I wouldn't be allowed to go and say we're a missionary. We wouldn't be allowed to say we're Christian, but they're going to let their own citizens come home. What an opportunity that is to be able to reach the world, to reach people with the gospel. Now, it is an expensive place to live. Canada, I know growing up, my dad was pastoring in Michigan when I was younger, when I was in elementary school, and I remember we used to get Canadian coins and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't any big deal for us, but it was always, the Canadian dollar is worth about 75 cents U.S. That's the way it always was. Not anymore. Their money's worth more than ours. It's about a dollar and a nickel for every Canadian dollar. So you're losing 5%. You say, well, that's no big deal. Okay. Take 20, or what is that, 20%? Isn't that what that is, 5 cents? No. Take 5% out of everything that you have and just burn it, and then pay all your bills, okay? You see what I'm saying? It makes a difference, and as the exchange rate changes, it makes a big difference. It really, just a couple pennies can make a big difference, and I know that from experience. Milk is almost $8 a gallon. My boys love to drink milk. And they raise cows there in Alberta. And I told the boys, I'm going to give you a bucket and point it that way. That's where the cows are. Come back when you have milk. And that's just how it is. You know how in some states here, in some states we have to pay a deposit on cans and bottles on our soft drink. In Canada, you pay that on everything, on your milk jugs, I mean, your water bottles, everything. If there's something liquid in it, you're going to pay a deposit on it, and you're going to bring that back. Yeah, I think it's like a quarter for every milk jug. So that, that almost $8 a gallon doesn't count that. And housing is an expensive thing. I've been looking at that. I found a single-wide mobile home. It's in Edmonton, right there in town. It's on a small lot in a trailer park, in a mobile home park. The trailer is about 1,100 square feet. It is roughly 10 years old. They want $130,000 for it. plus you pay about $500 a month for your lot rent. That's cheap. That is cheap. For a lot of the houses around this area, you're talking over $200,000 and up. So it's an expensive place to live, and that's just how it is. Without doubt, it's a mission field. And here's the thing. This is what I want to impress on everybody. Canada is not America. And that's a problem that, and I've thought this, but that in talking with the national pastors I've talked to, that's a problem a lot of missionaries have had coming into Canada from the United States. They have the idea that, you know, border, that's just a line on a map. People are all the same. They talk the same. They think the same. They act the same. But they're not the same. They're not the same as us. They have a different culture. They have a different way of thinking. They're influenced not by the U.S. They're influenced by Europe. That's where they get their philosophy from. That's their background. And so you come in with American ideology, and you will be rejected. I mean, I'm just telling you, just out of hand, you will be rejected coming in. Oh, I'm American. We're going to do things like we do in America. No, we have to do things like we do in Canada. We have to do things differently. And already I've talked to my wife about some things. Thanksgiving Day. Does anybody know when Thanksgiving Day is? Nobody knows when Thanksgiving Day is. No hands. Our Thanksgiving Day, of course, is in November. Canadian Thanksgiving's in October. I've already told my wife, Thanksgiving Day, once we get moved, Thanksgiving Day will be in October. Say, why? Because we're trying to reach those people. I don't want to do anything that's going to be offensive to them, that's going to keep them from listening to the gospel. Nothing. And really, that's what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. What he's talking about, he's not talking about that he was a compromiser and that he changed like a chameleon. It's that he did what he needed to do to reach people. He found out where they were, how they thought, and he reached them in that way. You go through the book of Acts and look how he dealt with different groups of people. He didn't deal with everybody the same way. The way that he preached the gospel to the Jew is not the way he preached the gospel to the Gentile. To the Jew, he went back to Abraham and to the law. To the Gentile, he went back to creation because they had no concept of the law. They had no concept of Moses or Abraham. They didn't know who they were. And really, it's the same thing in Canada. We're going to have to do the same sort of thing. And in a great way, we will be, in dealing with people, going back to creation. Because so many of them, they have no concept of God. They have no concept of all the things that I grew up with in Sunday school. Things that, you know, when I came to the point of understanding, I knew those things. I had already heard the stories so much. I mean, I knew them. Like David and Goliath and the plagues and Ten Commandments and so on. They don't have that. And so there's another thing that is different. Does anybody know that Canadian spelling's different than ours? It is. A friend of mine, her cousin works for a lawyer in Canada, and he told her that he will never hire an American again to work in his law office because Americans don't know how to spell. And he wasn't kidding. And they do spell things differently there. I'll give you one example. Everybody knows how to spell pajamas, right? I'd ask one some of the school kids. That's what I ought to do. Does everybody know how to spell pajamas? Really? All right, let's spell it together. It's P-Y. What? Yeah. P-Y-J-A-M-A-S. Pajamas. That's proper spelling. In Canada. Now, you may notice some things in our prayer letter, some words may look kind of funny to you. And that's because I already went into my computer. I changed spell check on my computer to Canadian English. I did that on purpose. And every once in a while, I'm typing along and look at that. What did that do? Because sometimes it'll automatically change words. What is that? That's wrong. Now I'll go back and try and change it again, and it gives you that little red line underneath, you know, like you don't know what you're doing. And I'll go look it up, sure enough. And you say, well, why would you do something like that? I mean, spelling, who cares? And I'll tell you why. A friend of mine, he's a missionary in Scotland, he was passing out tracts on a street corner, street preaching, passing out tracts. And as he's passing out tracts, people started looking at those tracts and said, oh, American, and they threw them on the ground. They would not take them because they were American tracts. How did they know? The spelling. Are we going to let spelling keep somebody from the gospel? I think not. They're not America. We need to, you know, just open our eyes and realize the fact they are a different country. They do have a different way of doing things, different way of spelling things, and so on. And so what do we have to do? We have to adapt to that. You don't. And you, everybody ought to say amen to that. You don't have to, but we do. And I always thought I was a good speller. But now we got to start all over again. But that's okay. Because if that's all we've got to do to see people saved, that's no big deal. That's no big deal at all. I'll tell you something else that we're going to do. Lord willing, we're going to do our very best when we go to actually go with a permanent resident visa, which it does limit you in a lot of ways. You can't leave the country for more than 30 days in a year. So that's sort of... That plays with furlough a lot. It really does. Because you get 30 days a year and every, you know, and then they compound it so much in every 3 years if you've been there 3 years. But we're going to, as God allows us, to actually naturalize as Canadian citizens. Now, we can become dual citizens, so we get to be both. Some people already think I have a split personality, so that will work with that. But the thing of it is, there are some people, if you're not working towards citizenship, they think they're just a short timer. They're just going to be here a little while and then they're going home. And so we're not going to listen to them because they're not here for the long haul. And we don't want to give them that opportunity. We don't want to give them that excuse. We don't want to take away all their excuses so that all they're left with, it's the gospel. That's what we want to do. And that's what we're looking for. I want to go ahead and show the presentation. It's not very long. So if you blink, you might miss it. So don't blink. So we'll go ahead and get this set up, and then we'll show this.
Worldwide famine. We hear on the news and see sad pictures of people trying to survive without their needs being met due to famine. How our hearts are moved by their need. God tells us of another kind of famine, the famine of hearing the word of God. Amos 8:11b says, "Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." This spiritual famine exists all over the world. We are the Jerry Jackson family. I and my wife Becky, along with our sons James, Jared, and Jason, are sent from the Blessed Hope Baptist Church, where Brother Jerry Ross is pastor. We are sent to meet the needs of spiritual famine in Canada. Canada, a nation of over 33 million people, is a British Commonwealth nation which recognizes the Queen of England as their official head of state. Canada is a modern nation which aligns itself with Europe in philosophy and lifestyle. Canada promotes foreign immigration and has welcomed people from many parts of the world. They also promote multiculturalism and have for many years. This has made them tolerant of many different views and more hardened toward the gospel message. Canada is a nation of many gods. Education, government, industry, materialism, and sports are just a few of the many gods worshipped. While the Canadian people may see these things as getting them ahead in life or giving them a more full life, none of these things can relieve the spiritual famine in which they suffer. Canada has been a religious nation for many years. Over 46% claim Roman Catholicism. 23% claim Protestantism. Nearly 2% claim the religion of Islam. 12% claim other religions such as Hinduism and Buddhism. 16% claim no religion at all. Canada is not in need of more religion. Instead, they are in need of a true gospel witness. This is the only thing which can relieve the spiritual famine in which they suffer. The Lord is directing our family to the city of Edmonton in Alberta. As the provincial capital of Alberta, Metro Edmonton is home to over 1 million people. Edmonton has been called the oil capital of Canada and is the center for Canada's diamond mining industry. As with the nation, Edmonton has plenty of religion, but very little Bible-based preaching. To our knowledge, the fundamental Baptist churches in the Edmonton area are located in the suburbs, leaving over 700,000 people unreached with the gospel of Christ. The Lord has used our family in many different avenues during our 17 years in the ministry. This includes our time as pastor in Texas, as well as our years on the mission field of Papua New Guinea. The Lord blessed our efforts in Papua New Guinea, where the Lufa Baptist Church still preaches the truth and reaches the lost. We believe that these ministry experiences have prepared us to be better able to reach the lost souls of Edmonton. The spiritual famine of Edmonton can only be met by the bread of life, Jesus Christ. We plan to introduce people to Christ via personal witnessing, door-to-door visitation, Bible studies, and preaching services. Once we have seen souls saved, we want to see them follow the Lord in baptism, be discipled to follow Christ, and see New Testament Baptist churches established as a result. Our message contains provision for whosoever will. We ask for your prayers as we attempt to reach whosoever will. We ask you to prayerfully consider supporting our ministry so that we may reach whosoever will. Will you help relieve worldwide spiritual famine? As the songwriter said, souls are crying, men are dying. Win the lost at any cost.
I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Else has a question now that you've been able to see the presentation. Like I said, it's short, but I think it kind of gives an idea. Yes, ma'am.
Does the government put restrictions on how much you can preach, what you can preach?
There are some restrictions that are there. The main one that people know about is the restriction on preaching against sodomy. That is considered a hate crime, and you don't even get a trial. You go before the Human Rights Commission for that. And there have been pastors sent to jail for preaching on that. What do you do about that? You be very careful with how you preach that and when you preach it. But at the same time, it's not going to be something that you are dealing with every day and dealing with every week as you preach. But you do have to take some care. I also know of a national pastor who was actually sent to prison for teaching on child discipline. And he did a couple foolish things. Number one, he recorded the message. And number two, which is the really dumb thing, he took a life-size doll and showed everybody what you do to discipline the child. And of course, that sounded really bad on the recording, and that's what they used when they sent him to jail. So you do have to be careful about some things. But the Lord's going to take care of that. And that's some of the things that you learn, and some of the stuff hopefully we'll be able to talk about on our survey trip. And so we'll be prepared with what we need to do as far as that goes. Anybody else? Nobody. Yes, ma'am.
Are there a lot of French people?
Not in that area. No, they tend to be around New Brunswick and Quebec. There will be some, for sure. Most of them, though, that move out of that area, they're English-speaking. In fact, the way that the laws are written, there's such a high requirement for government workers for fluency in French. Only a native French speaker that can get government jobs, because an English speaker, they're not going to learn French well enough to actually qualify. So most of the French speakers, they're going to speak English well enough. You can deal with them. Yes.
Is your plan to find a building and just start a church here? Is that your plan?
That's our plan. It is. And I've already heard of actually a couple different groups of people that are wanting to start a church. You know, the Lord will have to lead in that. I don't know how that'll work, but yes, you can rent community centers and that kind of thing for that purpose. So that's what we plan on doing. Yes.
Is that a socialist government?
The government that's in right now is actually pretty conservative, but overall, the government is fairly socialistic. They have government health care and a lot of those different kind of things like Europe has as well. So they tend to lean that way more or less. Anybody else? Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the main religion?
Well, if you look on paper, the main religion is Roman Catholicism. But if you look at the reality of life, the main religion is me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it is. People are living for themselves, and they're living for pleasure. They're living for what they can get out of life, and so on. So, like I said, on paper, that's how it ends up being. And I'll mention something else, too. In Edmonton, that's where the first Muslim mosque in Canada was built. So you actually have a higher concentration of Muslim people in Edmonton itself than you do a lot of other places in the country. Yes?
You were just talking about doing things to try to fit in. You know, how does that work when you're trying to school your children and do that type of stuff? Are you able to homeschool, or how do you do all that to try to fit in?
That's a good question. Actually, it's good for us because the Alberta schools are so cram-packed that they kind of want you to homeschool your kids so that they have some relief. Now, you have to register as a homeschooler, and I don't like the idea of registering. I really don't. But I've talked with some people about that, and there are homeschool associations that you can join. They actually do the registering for you. They're the ones that the government comes to. They don't actually come to your house or anything like that. And what ends up happening is the government of Alberta will pay you to keep your kids at home and was something that I was very concerned about right at the beginning. And so I was glad to hear that.
When you say any curriculum, I mean, you can get it from any outside, or do you have to use something they tell you?
No, you can use any curriculum you want. Yeah, there's, as far as I know, there's not any kind of limitation on that at all. Anybody else? Oh, I'm sorry. Gas prices, last time that I looked was about $4.50. and said, I'm saving my money now. So, do you like this shop? Then, you know, you can come visit. Shop. It's got like, now we're not going to give you any money to go shop, you know, on your own with that. It's got over 800 stores, 100 restaurants. It's got a water park. It's got roller coasters. It's all inside. They've got sea lions there, and they do, you know, shows and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're not talking about being on the backside of nowhere. You know, this Edmonton, it's a nice place. It is. It's a modern place. That's not really the point. The point is, it's a place that needs.